A Diaconate Ordination Message and Charge. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, August the 26th, 2007.
Well, tonight is a special night. Tonight that we gather as a church to celebrate. To celebrate the working of God and setting aside people to serve. To set aside men who have been called of God to serve as deacons in our church. This is an ordination service. Now, I've already talked to Jerry and Mark and Wayne, and I've assured them they will not get their hat or learn the sacred handshake until after we're through. This isn't a lodge initiation. This isn't a fraternity hazing. This is a setting aside of men that we believe are called out from the congregation by our Lord to serve His church. It's a time in which we celebrate the blessing of God in providing men of character and godliness to serve the body of Christ here at Trinity. Tonight, these three men join a long line of faithful servants that have been a part of this fellowship since its founding. It was on March the 30th, 1930, that a group of Baptists met in the house of Mother McLeod for the purpose of organizing a new Baptist church in this community. And it was at that very meeting on March the 30th, 1930, that C.W. Turner, A.W. Childers, J.A. Judd, Lewis Price, and Arch Roundtree were set aside as the first deacons of Trinity Baptist Church. And tonight, 77 years later, three men join those men in service to this congregation and join those others who have come through the years. And that's reason to celebrate tonight. 4 months ago, we asked you as a church body to give us your recommendation. We ask you to prayerfully consider who you believe the Lord was calling out to serve us. And I want to say to you that when we took all of those nominations, it was the same four names that came out of all of those nominations. We approached those four men and said, here is what the church is saying. Do you sense the same leadership? Would you be willing to commit to a time of instruction, a three-week period in which we'll meet on Sunday evening and we'll talk about the biblical material and we'll talk about the constitution and bylaws of our church and what we're looking for and what we're going to ask of you? And would you commit to at least go that far? And they did. We let them at any point that they wanted to drop out. One felt like he needed to drop out at that point. He didn't sense the leadership of God, and we honored that. These three continued. Next, they were then interviewed by two of our deacons. They went either to their home or met them here at the church, and they met with them and their wives, and they asked them questions about their experience with Christ, their coming to faith. They talked to them about their understanding of doctrine and their understanding of the church and all of those things, and were questioned thoroughly. And then those deacons came back to the deacon body and said, this is my recommendation based on what's happened to this point. And the deacons unanimously recommended these three to be set aside, and that's why we're here tonight. Now the question is, why would we do it that way? Why would we take that long? I mean, why don't we flip a coin? Why don't we play rock, paper, scissors? Why don't we ask for volunteers? Because this is a spiritual task. Because this is a work of God. And we don't want to despise the things of God. And so we made it a prayerful process. We made it a process with checks and balances where we would all seek to discern the will of God together. Because the deacon ministry is not a popularity contest. It is not a call to privilege. It is not a call to status. It is a call to service. Being a deacon, as the scripture describes it, demands hard work, time, and sacrifice. Looking pious and prominent just won't do. The role of the deacon is to be a servant of the congregation and to safeguard the fellowship. As such, it often requires a deacon be involved in things that they'd just soon not be involved in. It calls upon them to take stances that they would just soon not take, but it's necessary for the good of the fellowship. And I'm grateful through the years that some of my best friends in the life of the church have been deacons. It was a deacon who enabled me to survive my first church. Now, I don't mean by that that there was a big problem and they were going to vote me out and one deacon stood bravely in front of me. I mean I survived because there was one deacon who said, Pastor, I want to pray for you, and I want to meet you every Saturday morning. And for 2 years, every Saturday morning, he met me in my office, and we got on our knees together, and we prayed. And some weeks, he came to laugh at me. Some weeks, he came and laughed with me. Some weeks, he corrected me. And many weeks, we simply wept together. And to this day, if I get a phone call, I don't care what I'm doing, I don't care where I am, if I get a phone call and that man is in need, I will drop anything and run to his side. Because God used him to encourage my heart, to strengthen me. My best friends in the time that we were in Ponca City were all deacons. And I've had the privilege since being here to serve with men that I have honored, loved, respected, and admired most of my life. Because so many of them are really old. I've known them since I was a boy, and it is a great privilege to serve alongside them now. And I treasure each of them. And I am grateful to add these three men to that group of saints that I have the opportunity of serving with. I want to reflect for just a moment this evening on the office of deacon. Through the years, there have been a lot of confusion about the meaning of the word deacon and the function of deacon within the church. The word's pretty simple. It simply means servant. It's a compound word. It literally means through the dust. That implies humble service. The image is not one of power and authority, but rather one of humility and submission. Submission to Christ and submission to the church. Let me read the passage of Scripture that Wayne referred to earlier from Acts chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. There is some question whether Acts chapter 6 is really the origin of the office of deacon, but at the very least, it's the prototype. It is telling us of where they came from, why they were set aside in the first place. We're told that there was in those days a complaint that arose in the church. We need no further evidence. The early church was a Baptist church. The Lord was increasing their number. No, the Lord was multiplying their number, but they still weren't happy. Seems there was a problem in the way that they were distributing the food among the widows. There was a group that felt they were being overlooked, and the way they addressed it was to set men in charge of that important work. It is interesting to note they didn't say, "That's not a big deal, you people quit whining." They recognized, no, there was real need in the church, and we need men, godly men, to put in charge of this. So deacons were set aside for service and for the harmony of the church. Deacons are called to be servants, and deacons are guardians of the fellowship. I want to focus on verses 3 through 5 in the qualifications. Bill read the passage earlier from 1 Timothy 3, and that is a wonderful passage that tells us those things that ought to mark those who are called of God. They are to be serious-minded. They are to be proven blameless, husbands of one wife, one woman kind of man. They are not to be double-tongued. They're not to be given to much wine or be greedy. Those things are important, but I want to focus on these character traits that we find in Acts 6. Jerry, Mark, Wayne, this is the life you're to strive for. This is my charge to you. This is what the Lord expects from you in service to this church. You are to be men of good reputation. That is, that you are to be men that are well spoken of. Well spoken of because you lead a life that is above reproach. It should be the daily characteristic of your life that those who know you best, those who work with you, those who come across your path are never given a reason to question your integrity or your faith. You are to live in such a way that your life speaks the truth of Christ. You're not to live one way on Sunday and another way Monday through Saturday. It speaks of the transparency of your life. This is to be who you are. This is to be what you are every day. Doesn't mean that you're a perfect man, because you're not. You never will be this side of glory. But it means that godliness marks your life and your attitude. It means you strive to live a life of righteousness and obedience. Being a man of good reputation and godliness is essential if you're to be an effective servant to this body. That's a tall order. How in the world are you supposed to fulfill that? That brings us to the second quality. Not only are you to be men of good reputation, you are to be men who are full of the Holy Spirit. It is by the Spirit of God you're born again. The Holy Spirit took up residence in you and it's the new birth. We're not talking about a subsequent experience or a second gift. To be full of the Holy Spirit is to be led and directed by the Spirit of God. It is to be under the, you are to be under the Spirit's control. You are to daily yield your life, to give your life to God, so that His Spirit directs your mind, your heart, and your will. Such leading and yielding leads to the third quality, men who are full of wisdom. That's more than knowledge. We don't give an IQ test to determine who is to serve as deacons, because it's not about intelligence, it's about wisdom. It's about having a sense of right. It's about having an understanding and how to apply truth and wisdom. It's about a man of discernment. And that only happens to those who yield their lives continually to the Spirit of God. You're to be men of good reputation. You're to be men who are full of the Holy Spirit. You're to be men who are full of wisdom. And men who are full of faith. That is, a man who can trust God. The man who is willing to take a stand on the Word of God and withstand the storm that comes and remain firm. Not because you're stubborn. Not because you're unyielding. But because God's spoken, and you're going to stand on His Word. Now, you may very well say at this point, I don't remember you explaining all that, and I'd just soon back out. But I want to remind you, we've been through a process, and the church body has said we sense the leadership of God setting these men apart. You need to understand that we've been through a process that after that, the deacons prayed and they considered and they met with you and they talked with you at length, and they came away from that experience saying, we believe it is the leadership of God. And again tonight, the church has, for a second time, affirmed they believe it's the leadership of God. You may very well feel inadequate. And I hope you do. Because you can't be used of God unless you feel your inadequacy. Unless you feel, I'm not up to that. Can't do all those things. I'm a man of clay feet. I'm a man of failing. Only in your brokenness can you be used of God for His glory. This responsibility is well beyond your ability. You can only accomplish it by the power and the grace of God. And it's with confidence and great joy that we lay hands on you this evening and affirm God's leadership in making each one of you a part of the Deacon Fellowship of Trinity Baptist Church. Jerry, Mark, and Wayne, I'd like for you to stand. And I want to give you this charge before this body, before this people, before these whom God has called you to serve. I want to ask you for a commitment. And we're doing so publicly because I believe it merits a public commitment. If you will commit to these things, I want you to answer, I do, at the end of this. Do you promise to strive to so live that you may honor Christ with your life? Do you promise in the presence of this congregation to accept the responsibility of the office of deacon in this church and to the best of your knowledge and ability, discharge all the duties of this office? All right. Wayne Case, I want to ask you to come and lead us in a word of prayer, setting these men apart, and then, men, I'm going to ask you to move over, and we'll proceed with the laying on of hands.